Welcome back, everyone. Got a nice light afternoon ahead of us. Not much to talk about on Groundfish. I just do want to note, I believe Juanita had sent out a message to everyone, but I just wanted to highlight that if you have a parking pass from the hotel and you plan on leaving the hotel tomorrow afternoon, just see them beforehand because apparently our parking passes expires at noon tomorrow. So I would just at some point recommend just touching base with the front desk there. First step on our agenda today, this afternoon, is the Transboundary Management Guidance Committee, TMGC, and I will turn it over to Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you, Chair. So thank you, everybody. Welcome back from lunch. I'll be walking through the 2026 guidance from the U.S.-Canada process, our Transboundary Management Guidance Committee. Next slide, please. Just a little bit of background reminder of how we work with Canada on science and management, what the TMGC is, and our process to make recommendations for total allowable catches of these stocks that cross the international border. So for cod and haddock, you can see the stock area on the top map there showing that is the Eastern Georges Bank management area that we use for cod and haddock. For yellowtail, we use the entire Georges Bank stock area. Next slide. So in 2024, there was a new process developed. Last year, Chair Salerno, who was serving as the co-chair of TMGC, presented information related to the new science process that was developed. It was intended to kind of build strategies to enhance collaboration and streamline advice. This eliminated the annual TRAC meeting. TRAC was the Transboundary Assessment Committee. That's how we used to conduct our science. It was a joint scientific process where we had an assessment that was developed jointly by both US and Canada. That process was replaced, and now we have a process that compiles but does not seek to reconcile domestic science products for each country. So that translates to we have a stock assessment for cod that is the U.S. does one that's the Georges Bank cod stock area. Canada does one that is the Eastern Georges Bank cod stock area. Same for haddock. And then there's only one yellowtail assessment. The U.S. conducts that. This new process is called the Integration of Science Advice for Transboundary Stocks, ISATS, because the U.S.-Canada process loves acronyms. We have a lot of them. It does include a technical science coordination meeting with the stock assessment leads from both countries. The outcomes for the U.S. and Canadian domestic assessments are compiled. These domestic assessments are then considered equally as the basis for informing advice. The 2025 process included both Georges Bank cod and haddock, but the Georges Bank yellowtail flounder assessment was completed after the ISATS process through our U.S. management track assessment. So that was considered separately. Next slide. Moving on to the management side of it, TMGC, that's the Transboundary Management Guidance Committee. It's an advisory process to address how catches of these stocks should be allocated to the U.S. and Canada within that Eastern Georges Bank management area. Right through the middle of that Eastern management area is the Hague Line, and so that's why we have this process for stocks that cross the international boundary. Includes U.S. industry members from the New England Council, NOAA officials, Canadian industry members, and Canada government officials from the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, DFO. In 2025, the role of the council was actually replaced by NOAA's Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Fisheries. Council members were not in attendance at the TMGC meeting in Halifax. TMGC negotiated agreements for the three transboundary stocks. The recommendations did consider, but are not constrained by our groundfish ABC control rules or the council's risk policy. And all TMGC recommendations considered stock status, resource conditions, and risk-averse management approaches. Next slide. Getting into a little bit of the details of how the sharing agreement works, the U.S. and Canada rotate each year to complete what we call a resource allocation shares calculation. 2025, Canada did these calculations to inform the 2026 recommendations for total allowable catches. The agreement is based on a combination of two things: historical utilization by each country, and this gets a 10% weighting in the overall calculation, and resource distribution from available surveys, that gets a 90% weighting. So you can see the equation on the bottom and how it works. These two different pieces of information are put together, and we come up with a share of each country has a percentage of the total stock allocation. Next slide. This is the share that came out for moving into 2026. You can see the utilization column with 10%, the distribution column with 90%. So the allocation shares that informed the recommendations for 2026. For COD, the United States got 32% and Canada had 68%. For haddock, the US has 21%, Canada has 79%. And for yellowtail, the US has 54% and Canada has 46%. Next slide. The next part is called the U.S. biomass apportionment. This is a component that was added last year, as that we now have these separate domestic assessments. And I mentioned that our cod and haddock is we assess the entire stock area, not just the Eastern Georgia's Bank Management region. In order to figure out how much of the fish are actually in that Eastern Georgia's management area, we had to develop an apportionment method. This was developed by the Science Center in 2024 and was reviewed by the SSC that year. So to address these spatial differences in the footprints of the stocks, the method looks at the portion of cod and haddock distributed within the management area directly from the surveys, different from the resource sharing allocation, which includes that utilization weighting of 10%. The apportionment is based on survey distribution. The 2025 method had some updates. Industry members pointed out that there was catch occurring in areas where apportioned biomass was said to be zero. So there were some updates that were made for the haddock method, and it considered the survey footprint that had been used for the haddock assessment compared to the apportionment method and made those two things align. Next slide. So these are the 2025 apportionment results. This looks at survey data from 1992 through 2024. There is a low S smooth that smooths through all of the information. A calculation is put forward. For Georgia's Bank haddock, the apportionment method suggests that 75% of the stock is within the eastern management area, 25% outside of that area. And for cod, the apportionment method suggests that 100% of that stock is actually within the eastern Georgia's management area. Next slide. So the Transboundary Management Guidance Committee met in Halifax on October 1st. As I mentioned, there was agreement for the three transboundary stocks. The guidance document was delivered to the Council from Canada on October 30th. Next slide. And these are the total allowable catches recommended for fishing year 2026. Again, on the far right is the percent share. That's the resource allocation share that I had mentioned with the different percentages for each country. The overall TAC for haddock is 4,750 tons, and that equates to a quota for Canada of 3,752 tons, and for the U.S. of 998 tons. I will mention that on the previous slide, where I showed that 75% of the haddock stock was deemed to be within that management area, so that is the haddock quota that would be for Eastern Georgia's Bank Management Area only. Dr. Camp will go through the SSC's recommendations for haddock in other parts of the Georgia's Bank stock area. So there is a larger quota for the U.S. of total Georgia's Bank haddock in 2026. This is just a small component in the eastern management area. For cod, the overall total allowable catch is 473 metric tons, of which the U.S. gets 151 tons. And for yellowtail, the total allowable catch recommended is 57 tons, and the United States would have 31 tons of that. And that's all I have. I will mention that we are not going to have motions on this now, that we will take motions on the TMGC recommendations under the groundfish item because the SSC had some review of these as well. But I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe. Questions from the council on the TMGC? Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thanks, Dr. O'Keefe, for the update. Just curious, we were on schedule. I know we're kind of questioning the, you know, the future of and the makeup of TMGC. But I'm just curious, are the ISATS process was under review, was supposed to have a review come 2026. Is that something that is under council priorities? Is that something that's just because we're going to have TMGC be considered as a council priority that ISATS process would be part of that? So that's my first question. And then I have another question.
Thanks. It's a good question. I don't have a great answer, partly because the U.S.-Canada Steering Committee that was scheduled for October was canceled. Typically, the Steering Committee provides some insights for TMGC plans for the following year. Also, since the council didn't participate in the TMGC meeting this year, we didn't have an opportunity to talk to Canada about next steps on what that review would be. TMGC actually waived that portion of the agenda for the meeting and decided not to have that discussion. So I think we need to figure out a way to make plans. As of right now, we don't have a committee established for TMGC. The interventions that occurred this year haven't been completely resolved in what the future of TMGC will be for our council and how the process will work. So I think we have a lot of open-ended questions.
One other question. So we learned from last year to this year with the ISATS process that the biomass apportionment methodology is pretty significant when we're looking at the U.S. Quota that's available, whether in the East or the West. There was concern, as you had mentioned in your presentation, from industry that there was concern about, you know, Georges Bank Haddock as well as Georges Bank Cod not reflecting the activity of where the industry is fishing or finding the fish. It was based on survey data only. Corrections were made for this year to include the entire Georges Bank Haddock stock delineation, which had a change from the 75-25, which actually, as you mentioned again, it has brought up our quota for the U.S. substantially for Georges Bank Haddock. I know that it's confusing when looking at these formulas and these methods and understanding kind of what the impact is to the U.S. fishery that has nothing really to do with the eastern area. Now it's really kind of ties in our entire western area as well. Just curious if there's any process underway for that to be reconsidered for negotiations for 2027. And the reason why I ask was because concerns were raised last fall, and it was told there wasn't anything that was there wasn't time to resolve the issues that we're now faced with today in 2025 by having a 1500 metric ton quota that was approved, which is a huge reduction in Georges Bank Haddock and has greatly impacted the U.S. fishery. So I'm just curious if, when and how we start that process rolling now so that we're prepared for any sort of negotiations for the 2027 fishing year.
Thanks. Yeah, I think Dr. Camp will cover some recommendations that the SSC made around potential ways to change that apportionment method. States offered to assist with looking at that method and potentially considering some alternative approaches. So, yep, I think under the priority discussion tomorrow, the council could consider directly tying that to U.S.-Canada activities.
Thank you.
Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, Kate, can you bring up that slide before this one? I just want to see, make sure I... I'm the last one to point out a typo, trust me. Codfish, it's at 473 for Canada as the overall quota, and then Canada gets all 473 of that, and the one... That isn't how it used to be listed, so I just want to make sure I'm clear on it.
Yep, thanks, Terry. That's my typo. It's 473 is the total TAC. That's correct. Canada should be 322. Yes.
I just point out that actually is correct in the guidance document. So in case there is that conflict, but thank you for that. Any other questions related to TMGC? Seeing none, I just want to point out, I think Ms. O'Dell kind of highlighted some of the conflicts that we've been working through with the apportionment method, as Dr. O'Keefe had mentioned. I think one of the things that really came to highlight this year that you don't see these charts side by side, but one of the conflicts that I think there's a misunderstanding is that our management boundaries and our biological boundaries don't match up. So I think that there's a little concerning there. That's one of the other issues that came into play, is that when the industry is talking about their catch and where they're catching it versus what our actual biological boundaries are in the stock assessment. So I think that's another avenue of to really have a deeper dive in if and when we move forward with this apportionment process. Any other further questions from the council? Oh, Jackie.
Thanks, Dan. I think it last year it was more pretty significant that 90%, 90 or something percent of the U.S. catch was in the West, where the survey said that there was zero. So I think that there's just a big, that zero to 100 was just really kind of shocking. The U.S. fishery doesn't fish much in the East because we have this thing called a very large closure in the East. So the groundfish fishery isn't, fully participating in an area that we put 100% of the biomass based on survey data, not fishery catch information. And I know it's complicated. I know you have to be careful how you consider a fishery catch, but it was so substantially off last year that we need to do that better. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Any further comments, questions on TMGC? Sorry, Mr. Simpkins, Dr. Simpkins.
Yeah, I just wanted to, there was a bullet on one of Kate's slides talking about apportionment that we kind of moved past, and that the idea of apportionment was just to show, because we have two different models and two different spatial scales. So for the TMGC, for the group that gets together to make those decisions, which is in question, that they can sort of see how to put those together, because one would assume that a bigger area you'd have more fish. So they're just trying to say, like, this is a way to make them comparable. And as you put in your slide, Kate, the intention of the apportionment was to be informational, not like determinative of the sort of negotiation. So, and I think that was, well, I wasn't at TMGC, so I'm not sure if that was made clear there, but I know we had it clear on our side beforehand, but I wasn't at the meeting, so I guess I can't talk about what happened there. Thanks.
Ms. O'Dell.
So I understood that we thought that it was supposed to be informative, but from the Canadian standpoint, when you take the entire U.S. biomass and you put it in the East to then share, they specifically said they didn't consider that to be informational. That's what we said that we were going to do, and that's what they stuck their negotiations to. So that's what the U.S. Negotiator was stuck with. It wasn't considered informational when we gave them 100% of our biomass to be considered for Georges Bank cod. So it was an interesting discussion.
Thank you. Seeing no other further hands, I'm sure I'll look around this time. Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe. Next up is